a gorgeous young man.
Is that okay?
That's he's a dad of three. Looks like he's 19. Don't give me that. Hi, it's great to be here. It's really great to be here. We had an amazing time this morning. God was amazing. And, you know, I know this is all about missions today, but, you know, mostly my side of it is India. But, you know, we've got mission fields everywhere, haven't we? We've got a mission field here in Australia, haven't we? Huge mission field. And, you know, India... Yeah. In India at the moment, it's very difficult because the persecution is getting terrible. Up the north of India, where we do quite a bit of work, and I've been there quite a few times, they're murdering people in the thousands. They're raping women night and day. It's horrendous what's going on up there. And because the Hindu radicals have just come right against not only the Christians, but also the Muslims as well are getting slaughtered. So, you know, we need to pray for them. But the other thing that's happening in India is that people are getting saved left, right and centre. And the two guys that I work with, Pastor Gabriel and Pastor Samuel from down south, they're just opening up churches everywhere. Because, you know, people are running to the Lord because nowhere else to go. And so just pray for them. But I just want to talk this morning about go and do likewise. Matthew 9:35-38 says this. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, the truest form of compassion is only found in the nature of God, because only God knows the full depth of an individual's pain, need, or suffering. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. He does. And we need to have that compassion for those people. Christ's likeness calls us to learn Jesus' heart of compassion, a depth of sensibility that can be worked in us through the Holy Spirit. We need to have our hearts reconditioned. We really do, to be able to sense the pain of human bondage and to weep with those who weep. The Holy Spirit can help us. The Holy Spirit can show us when we're talking to people. You know, when I'm talking to people, often I know what they're going through because the Holy Spirit is in it. Amen? He's in it, praise God. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know what, people? Compassion is the force that will drive us to be God's witnesses in Jerusalem. It's only the passion of the Lord that will force us into that. And in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth, if we do not be moved with the same compassion that moved Jesus, the multitudes will become weary and scattered and be sheep without a shepherd. We need to approach people with the compassion of Christ, with the compassion of Christ. I tell you, until we and you are moved with compassion, with care and mercy, souls all around us will continue to go unharvested. They're waiting for our compassion, for our love, for our concern. Jesus said, go and compel them to go in. Go out into the highways, the byways, and behind hedges, and compel them to come to the table he has set to them. But if we do not care, do not have compassion, we will never go. We will never go. Compassion is the force that will cause us to spend and to be spent for others. Caring moves us to go, to give us so that others can live. Truest compassion has been in the nature of God because God knows the full depth of another's pain. So as we move out in compassion, as we move out in God's compassion, God's in it. God's in it. If your heart is hurting this morning, if you know you're going through deep things this morning, I'm standing up here with the compassion of Christ. People are sitting here with the compassion of Christ. Please don't leave this room without sharing your concern, and we can pray for you. I really felt God wanted me to do that this morning. Praise God. Compassion is a force that will cause us to spend and be spent for others. Praise God. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 30-37. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more money you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. And that's exactly what he's saying to us today, to go and do likewise. You know, to me, I find that story a fairly accurate description of the world today. Take, get, sue. Do you reckon? Take, get, sue. That's about how we move in these days. But it's not Jesus' way. Interesting, the help came from the despised source. There was distinct racial strain between Jews and Samaritans. They hated each other. They were disgusted with each other. There was actually most outright hostility and hatred between both of them. So the compassion from the Samaritan was actually more condemnable, that he helped the man when in reality the person he was helping would never have given him the time of day. He was actually helping someone who he knew hated him. He was helping someone who didn't care about him. He was helping someone who would never have helped him, but because of Christ, he helped him. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, that such a man rose up to do that. It was incredible. See, the priest and the Levite had a lot going for them. They had a calling. They had anointing. They had an office. They had ministry. They had education. They had blessing. They had prosperity and respect. But all that was not enough to move them to make a difference in this perishing man's life, because they didn't have the compassion of Christ. As I said, outright hatred and hostility existed. Racial discrimination is alive and well today. You know, judging is alive and well today. How we simply judge people by the way they look, their colour, whatever, we judge them. And we need to come with the compassion of Christ. See, so the Samaritan saw the hurt man and he moved with compassion. And you know what? Compassion moved the Samaritan. Not calling, not titles, not ministry. Compassion moved him beyond racial discrimination. Compassion took him completely out of his comfort zone. Compassion overrode the fact that he was not a kinsman or a fellow citizen of Israel, but a despised Samaritan. But you know what? Compassion drove him to make a difference in someone else's life. If we want to touch people's life, we need to move in the compassion of Christ. And as I said, the man that was hurt would not have given the Samaritan the time of day if it was him that was hurt. Expect such a compassion from a friend or a brother or a sister, but we see it here is done by a stranger and a despised foreigner. Compassion of this Samaritan was not an idle compassion. He backed it with action. He did it all the way. You know, we can sympathize with people. I know sometimes I feel really sorry for people. Have you ever been felt like that? Come on, you can talk to me. You ever felt like that? You know, truly, it's sympathy. I mean, you're sad for them. But I tell you what, an hour later, you've forgotten all about them. Is that about it? Really? We can have sympathy as easy. Compassion goes all the way. Compassion does something about the sympathy. Sympathy. I don't know. I've been talking too much this morning. Sorry about that, people, but that's what happens. Compassion of the Samaritan was not an idle compassion. This parable also provides some valuable insight how to help people in need. I mean, how do we help people in need? I mean, I'm here this morning and I'm representing India in some way, but I'm representing my country, Australia, right now. because this place needs compassion. We need to be moving out in compassion and touching people's lives. People are going through terrible times at the moment, and it's our opportunity to reach out in compassion, just to see how we can help them, what we can do. We can see a great revival in our nation just by having compassion for the people. We need that compassion. We need that compassion to be able to reach these people. First, we have to draw near to people in difficulty to be able to offer comfort and access their needs. We need to come close to people, people who we might even smell, whatever, but we are to move close to them. So how can we help? How can we help? That is compassion. And compassion is when you move out and actually do something about it. But, you know, we talk about foreign countries, and it's amazing and wonderful what's happening in India, but I want to see this same compassion in Australia and in the state of Western Australia. Praise God. Second, be aware that you may not be able to meet all their needs yourself, and that you may need others to help. Well, God put it on our heart to give saris to the widows in India many years ago, and it was just the two of us, David and myself. But other people, churches, come on board, and C3 Fremantle really came on board and helped me. They understand what we were doing, and we went out there with them, their help. We were able to reach many people, and I think we've given out 20,000 saris in that time. 20,000 saris about that time. But when he said to me and David, give saris, I mean, no one ever done that before. Give a Bible, but not a sari. But you know what? It's touched so many people. It's changed so many, brought so many people to the Lord. It's incredible what has happened. Thirdly, pray that God will open our eyes to the needs of those around us and will give us wisdom regarding to how to help and how best to care for them. See, we've got the Holy Spirit with us. So when we're talking to someone, sometimes you think, boy, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do. How can I help that person? But the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, and he will show us what we can do. Fourthly, pray that God will fill you with his compassion. You know what we have to do? We have to go and do likewise. Go and do likewise about the same as that Samaritan. See, compassion breaks down barriers. Compassion takes you into places that you would never normally go. The compassion of Christ breaks down all barriers of who we are and where we can reach people. We need compassion. My compassion was for the widows. Why? Because my mother was beaten every day by my father for years. She was 49, married at 21 before she eventually left him. You know, so my compassion in my heart is for widows, for women on their own, especially over in India because they are so badly treated. We need to learn to tap into the compassion of God. We can never do it by ourselves, but we can tap into his compassion. We'll never do it out of our own compassion because we're fickle. Oh, yes, I understand, yes, but we just move on. But only out of the compassion of God in our heart can we reach people, really reach people and help them. Christianity demands a level of caring that transcends human inclinations. The priests and Levites were God's servants, but they had no compassion whatsoever. The bottom line, they did not value this man's life above their own inconvenience and comfort. See, Esther, you know the story of Esther? She cared about her people. She put her life on the line to save her people. She went before the king without him asking her to go to him. But she went because she had compassion. And ultimately, not only did the king receive her, but she was offered co-rulership with the king. And later he rewarded her with a signet ring symbolizing a new authority in her life. She did it with compassion. She didn't want all her people to be murdered. See, but it's interesting, as Esther valued the life of others, her own life increased with value. Isn't that interesting? As that Samaritan valued the life of the Israelite, the value in his life increased. So every time we value somebody else, we actually have value, more value on ourselves. As Mother Teresa, actually I met her when I was in India, reached out to the poor and dying. She came from another country. She came from Albania. She wasn't even Indian. But, you know, She went amongst the disease-ridden people in India. She lifted them up with all their sores, everything. She just spent her whole life looking after the poor, the poorest of the poor. And you know what happened? The people she touched, their lives increased. But guess what else happened? So did the value of Mother Teresa's life. She became known right around the world. She had such influence. You know, as you make someone else feel valuable, that you become so much more valuable yourself. Isn't that incredible? As we value somebody, we become more valuable. The priest and the Levite were afraid of losing their time, their income, their comfort. They did not value someone else. But you know what happened? They lost their own value. They lost their own value. See, Christianity is about other people, about compassion and selflessness and caring. And those things cost us. Not having those things cost us even more, because we are to have the compassion of Christ. Want to reach people's lives? Ask the Lord for more compassion. You know, India is one place where we are supporting in a great way. And this church, C3, has been very much part of that from the beginning. You know, we've been going there for years, but Dave was actually born there. We went back in 1984, actually, to see where he was born. But, you know, about 12 years ago, God put saris on my heart. Why sari? You know, people said to me, why saris? Why not give them food? But God kept saying, give them a sari, give them a sari. Because they love their saris. And a sari, to have a nice sari, is an honour. And honestly, they might have one sari in their wardrobe, but they look better than us. They really look after that one sari. So we started doing saris. We stood there, Dave and myself, handing out 25 saris in the beginning. And now we've done about 20,000, something like that. I couldn't keep track of all the saris that we've handed out. We were handing them out 1,000 at a time at one stage just before COVID. And there was a stage where we stopped buying saris because things were so bad in India with COVID that, you know, if you were walking down the street with your son would drop dead. You had to keep on walking because if you touched him, you would have dropped dead too. So we started feeding them. But now we're back to giving saris. And they are so excited. They're all ready for me in November to bring this to... Actually, I buy them over there because they're much cheaper over there than here. But they've gone up double in price. From $10 each, they've gone up from $20 each. We thought we had troubles. But, you know, we just can't wait to get over there and hand these beautiful women out saris again. And who are they? Yeah, Muslims, whatever. Whatever, Hindus, I don't care who they are. They're a woman. They're a woman. We hand them saris. It's really exciting what is happening. And out of that, we're seeing such great growth in the churches. And the Indian women, they just work behind the scenes. I tell you, you know when all these women are sitting in a room, about 1,000, you can see the women working with all the women, telling them about Jesus. It's amazing. And the head of the Muslim group that was there, she stood next to me and she said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's all she said, but wasn't that amazing? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not sure what happened, but it was amazing. So all her people yelled out, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It was amazing. Praise God. You know, we hugged every one of those women. Hugged every one of them. At one group once we hugged 800 people. You know, you hug 800 people, 1,000 people. It's a lot of hugs. But every hug was worth it. And we spoke about the love of God. Praise God. And as I said, during COVID, so many people died and so the pastors were jailed and, you know, it's just terrible what's happening over there at the moment. I think there were some pictures up there, what's happening in the north of India, where they are just murdering and everything, the people. You know, the saris are an amazing honour to these widows. The saris make them feel loved and respected. They cry when they receive them. Hundreds have received the love of God by having a sari. I've got pictures after pictures of me standing with Muslim girls with the black, only their eyes showing, and you can see the eyes smiling, and I'm standing there giving them a sari. It's the most incredible thing that you ever can do. But so many other things come out of it. I remember we're staying in this hotel. We always didn't have the greatest accommodation. And this guy that was running the hotel, he looked sad all the time. And over there, you must realize that but with a woman, if you don't fall pregnant within about 2 years, your husband gets rid of you. He gets somebody else. And so he looked really sad and he said, you know, I've been married for about 5 or 7 years and my wife hasn't had children. I said, isn't that amazing? And you stayed with her. I honour you. I said, can I pray for you? And he said, I'm not a Christian. I said, no, but can I pray for you? He said, my wife really needs, wants to have a baby. I said, that's easy. We'll pray. We'll just pray. So we prayed. And when I went there next year, he had this little baby. God is amazing. See, when you do it with compassion, God comes in. God comes in it all the time. Praise God. And then, you know, a friend over and I'm there, she's a, been an air hostess for about 40 years. I met her on the planes, actually. Amazing friend. And her mummy, she calls him mummy, and I found out she wasn't much older than me, and I've been calling her mummy for years. But anyway, she's been just laying on the bed, not be able to move or do anything for 10 years. She actually died just last year, she died. And so, but she was actually a Catholic before she married the Hindu husband. And so when I went there, it was amazing. She suddenly opened up her eyes like this, and she'd look at me like this. And all of a sudden, she'd sort of try and get my hand. So I lift my hand, and she'd go like this. She did a cross. And I know that she died knowing the Lord. Just little things like that. You know, we look at those little things and think they're nothing. We're in a restaurant, and I was with this other woman, and they're so cruel to their employees, a lot of them, not all of them. But he was giving this young boy such a hard time. So my friend, she was worse than me. That's easy to, hard to beat. But she was worse than me. And she stood up against the owner. She said, how dare you do that? I thought, oh, we're going to be thrown out in 2 minutes now. How dare you speak to him like that? How dare you treat him? And I'm trying to kick her to shut up, but and she wouldn't. And she anyway, so the boss just went off. He didn't know what to do. But when Sharon, we went outside, that young boy ran out from the building, ran up to Sharon and hugged her. And she said, remember, it was Jesus that was there with you today. Remember, it was Jesus, not me. You know, there's just incidents, yeah. There's just incidences all the time that we can move out on people. You know, it's a, India is a mission field. It is. But I tell you what, there's people in Australia that need to be loved, need to be respected, need to be honoured and need to be cared for. Would you agree? There's people, millions of people in Australia that need the love of God. And if we've got that compassion, you can move in every any situation. You know, we can stand in the gaps for others. We will be filled with God's compassion and act on it so that none will perish. I tell you, it's only godly compassion that will move us out of our safety zones. In Colossians 3:12 message, it says this, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe Jesus picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet, strength, discipline. Lift others' value, and our value will be lifted up. Let's go and do likewise. I should have had a drink of water before I started. That's why I've been sorry about that. But you put up with it, didn't you? Go and do likewise. If you're here this morning and your heart, you know, you're going through so much of the time, you're not quite sure which way is up. After the service is finished, I'm more than happy to pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. Amen.